And this is Adrian Kennedy in for Andrea this Friday afternoon ahead of St. Patrick's weekend, a long weekend, a 3-day weekend, which is great. Now, every Friday at around about this time on the programme, as part of our Ask Me Anything series, we put your questions to people from interesting backgrounds or working in different careers. So have you ever wondered about what it would be like to work as an auctioneer? And what do they do and how do they do it? Well, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by Ian White, who is chairman of White's Auctioneers. Ian, good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Adrian.
Now, my only experience of ever being an auctioneer is doing a charity auction on stage with 500 people after having a load of drink and trying to sell jerseys and stuff, but it's
been
a lot more.
Been there, done that.
It's a lot more detailed than that, though.
Yeah, and it is. Yeah, I mean, what we do, we're specialists in art and some collectibles as well, but mostly art. And what we do is we gather in paintings, sculptures, that type of thing, and from people who want to sell them, and we research them. We then produce what's known as a catalogue, which is the listing with photographs of them, both online and printed in some cases, though the print catalogues are gradually fading away now with technology. And then we put it all together, and then people come along and they view that we have an exhibition of the art, and people come in to look at it, whether they're interested in buying or not, or sometimes selling, see what things are going for. And then we have the auction. We had an auction, for instance, last Monday, which sold over 1.2, 1.3 million in an evening, which was quite nice. And we do about 4 sales like that a year, and then we do 4 smaller sales with objects from €100 upwards, which is good.
Okay, now there's a lot of messages come into us. I'm going to start off with this voice note from Ellen. Have a listen to this.
Mm. You often hear auctioneers speak in that rapid fire way. I heard that in your promo. Do any auctioneers actually do that, or is it just from the movies? If so, where does it come from?
That's a good question.
It comes from a long time ago. It's mainly, you'll mainly see it in America. You can still see that in Ireland in the cattle marts.
Yes, I've noticed that.
The cattle mart fellas are very good at it and have a patter. But we don't use it anymore in antiques or art or collectibles. I do remember when we started off, there were still a few auctioneers around, especially what, remember the weekly auctions you'd get, like Buckley's at Sandy Cove or places down the country, there'd be a weekly auction. Some of the boys down there would have the patter. And of course, some of those would be mart auctioneers as well. So they knew. But in America, you'll see it. The best ones to watch are in America are the tobacco auctions, where they go, wah, 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 and nobody has any idea, except the fellas who are buying and selling this.
Okay,
stuff.
So it's not as common as we might might think.
No, but if you want to go down to the local cattle mart, it's very entertaining.
It is. I've seen it myself. Yeah, and in fact, the first time I was asked to do a charity auction, I said, I wouldn't be able to do that. I wouldn't know how to do all that. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Okay, here's another question. Do shows like Antiques Roadshow lead people to believe what is in their attics is any more valuable than it actually is?
Oh, it certainly does. Yeah, I mean, there's dozens of shows now on television, Flog It and all the rest of it. Yes, they do. And we get people having watched something on Flog It, we'll know the next day. We're going to get phone calls about that, you know, and we do. But it's good because it does bring out, every so often somebody has a winner. You know, for every 100 phone calls or WhatsApps or whatever we get, emails, people send in photographs and the size or whatever it is, every so often that's a winner, that's a good one, that's worth 5,000, 10,000, sometimes 100,000.
And would you know that instinctively?
Yes, I suppose. Unfortunately, a lot of the times people send in something, but it's a print instead of the original paintings. The original painting might be worth €100,000, but the print's worth €10 or something. You know? So that does happen. But we usually can tell from the photograph. And if not, then, you know, we'll wing it around to their house and say, can we see this? Or tell them to bring it in.
Very good. Yeah. Okay, we've another WhatsApp voice note from Wayne.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, this is Susan. Sorry, my apologies.
Okay. I have a very large painting which is signed by a recognised Dublin artist. I'd like to get it valued, probably sold at auction. I did research the artist and his work and I believe the painting's genuine, Too large to get in the car or to get to the auction house, just wondering how I would get it valued.
It's very easy. Take a photograph of it with your phone, will do. Phone photographs are great these days. Take a photograph of the phone and you can email it into the auctioneer if you want to email it to White's, but there's other auctioneers I have to mention. And give the details of the size, anything else you know about it too. You know, where did you acquire it? How did you acquire it? That kind of thing. Send all the details in. And we'll come back, or the auctioneer you write to will come back with an idea, a ballpark, as they say, of what it's likely to fetch at auction.
Okay, so just you can send a random email.
Just send an email
with all the details.
Yeah, I mean, in our case, be info@whites.ie. But once you send the details, then we can come back to you. It'll usually take a few days to get back because we do get hundreds of these calls all the time. And then if everything's okay, then we can arrange for an art courier to collect it. Doesn't matter how big it is. And we can then put it to auction.
It's obviously sizable enough. It won't fit in the car. So
yeah, we get a lot of people to buy things like this week. Then there's a few came in. They bought something at the auction online and they never looked to see what size it was. And they arrive along with a 2-seater, you know, sports car. I think they'll get it in there.
Very good. Okay, Jimmy sent us this WhatsApp voice note.
Hey, how are you? Good to hear you on the show. I'm just wondering, do you think there's any artist currently or deceased artist that you see rising in value over the next, 5 to 10 years? Thanks very much.
Yeah, I wish I knew. It's like telling you what the share prices of Guinness is going to be in 5 years' time. I say to people, if you go around the gallery, I mean, the new art will be in the galleries. So we deal in the secondary market, as I was quoted once as saying, we deal in the dead and the nearly dead. But the live artists you'll find around the galleries, there's loads of galleries in Dublin, they're in Cork, Galway and around, and also online. And do your research. The thing to do is buy pictures that you like the look of, that you're going to live with for a number of years. And also research the artist. Have they done anything interesting? Have they won prizes for their art? Are they in famous collections like, say, Bank of Ireland or National Gallery or wherever, or corporate collections? And then just take a chance, see what you do. I mean, we sold a picture last year and the chap was walking down Talbot Street, happened to see this unusual exhibition by this artist called Genevieve Figgis. He bought the painting for €400. It was our first show. She was a mature student in the College of Art. It wasn't known at all. Paid €400 for it. We sold it for 30,000.
Wow.
Now, it was only 20 years ago he bought it, so it's not that long, you know.
So it is possible to, get into collecting at a reasonable rate, yeah. but it's... You get a good feeling, perhaps, when you see it.
Yeah, and I think if you stick at it, if you're a real collector who's going to stay collecting things for over 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you'll always get my experience is you'll always get at least one winner, and sometimes more, if your eye is good, and you'll pick out some good stuff.
I want to bring in this message from Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. So I have a shark's tooth that my mother told me growing up was very, very valuable and very, very old. And I'm just wondering where to go. I don't know where to go to get a price to sell it. And also I have a coin, a Victorian coin from 1592 is the date on it, again in a box. And I'm wondering what the price, or where do I go to get this priced, please?
Okay, first of all, the shark's tooth, I can't see any value to shark's teeth. Unless, now there are whale tusks, or there's pieces of whale bone and things like that that have been worked on. In other words, written on in little drawings. These were done originally back in the Napoleonic times or before that. Sailors used to etch things on bits of bone and fish bones and that kind of thing. It might be something that might be what she means. If it's decorated, there might be some value in it. The coin, it's interesting, it says 1592. Because Victorian coins would be from 1837 to 1900. So 1592, we're talking about Elizabeth I. And if it has 1592, I wonder, is it a commemorative medal to do with Trinity College, which was founded that year? On the other hand, it could be an Elizabethan coin, a silver coin, and the Lisbon silver coins can vary from 30 or 40 euro up to about a few hundred.
Okay, so not a fortune.
Not a huge fortune, I'm afraid, no.
All right, Ian, I really appreciate you popping into us today and answering all of those questions. Ian White, Chairman of White's Auctioneers, thanks very much indeed for popping into us today, Ian, to ask me anything. Yeah. Now, that's just about it from us for today. My thanks to all of you for getting in touch with us on the show. If you've missed anything, you can catch up on newstalk.com or the Newstalk app powered by Go Loud. The team today, Michael Quilligan on sound, producer Heather Blackburn, with research by Ross Leahy, Sophie McDevitt and Cathal O'Sullivan. The editor was Mark Simpson. Moncrief is next, and we'll be back on Lunchtime Live on Tuesday at 12.